Welcome back to Lily of the Herbs podcast. This is episode 13, and after a long hiatus, I'm back. The inspiration has come from the sky, and yeah, another beautiful episode was recorded this afternoon. I had the pleasure of having lunch and hanging out at Dom's house and apothecary in Mullaney, Queensland. Dom runs Medicine Room, which is a herbal dispensary, and she also runs online classes and mentorships, and she's an incredible herbalist who has been practicing for many, many years now. She's every Saturday she's at the Yamundi Market doing free herbal consultations and selling her medicines and beautiful herbal skin products. They're incredible. And I've seen her at Woodford and just always heard about her through the Zentai community, and was just, in the right place at the right time, and got to have a great conversation and an insight into how she ticks. I was thinking on the way home that I'm not sure what I love more, people or plants, and then I realised what I love the most is learning about people who love plants and are starting their businesses, running their businesses and treating and healing people. And that for me is I feel that that's also my life path. And so it's really inspiring to hear how people go about it, because everybody goes about it in a different way. And what I think I learned from Dom was her incredible just power and passion and devotion to her work. It feels like every second is just taken up with creating and connecting with plants and also learning. She's done diplomas and master's degrees and bachelor degrees, and you know, she's constantly learning. She's done her Zentai Shiatsu training, she's a Kundalini yoga teacher. She's never stops, and I think that is the beauty, and that comes through in her medicines as well, is that they are crafted with so much knowledge behind them. And so I guess, yeah, I hope that this podcast inspires everyone out there to keep learning, just always, always learning. Lots of love. Recording. Awesome. So what do you feel like your constitution is? Do you feel like you're... I feel like you've got a lot of air, like, or fire.
Okay, so this is just depends upon how you want to look at it.
Mm.
All right, so constitution. My father's French-Swiss, mm-hmm. So my family come from the up near Zurich, up on the French in Héricourt in France, which is right up in the top corner in the Alps.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a very strong constitution from those people.
Mm.
And then my mother's side, I'm sixth generation convict woman in the woman's line. So that's a different kind of constitution. If you look at my genetic constitution, which is where I'm going to start, because that is really, truly my cultural constitution. That is my individual Indigenous constitution, and that's the most valuable constitution I have. You know, there's a lot of really good jing that comes from my father's constitutions and from that line, but from my mother there was a lot of not so good because of the just the history, convict history, and that whole depletion that goes with that. If you want to look at my Vedic stuff, you know, it changes in life, as you know. Like, you know, children are always kapha, adults are always pitta, and as we get older we become vata. And so, like, the constitution that I was born with, it would have been like probably a combination of vata and kapha, you know. If I look at my constitution now compared to my constitution when I was younger as well, I think emotional things affect our constitution, physical environments, what we eat, like nothing's fixed. Oh wow. So many things. Every culture has a different way of viewing constitution, but constitution generally means how strong am I, what are my tendencies, and where are my weaknesses, and where are my strengths. That's shifting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I see, well, you, it sounds like we've just had to re-record. We're re-recording. This is our second take of the podcast. And before, we've been talking about, Dom shared her story of her studying naturopathy through correspondence, the work being, the notes being mailed to her, and then her filling them out, and while raising three boys, and running a business, working in health food stores, running other pharma sections in pharmacies. Like, it sounds like you work, like you're able to go and go.
I'm a worker, yeah.
Yeah, you're a worker.
But I also look after myself, you know, early to bed, early to rise.
Yeah.
I don't have any bad habits these days. When I was younger, of course I did, like we all do. I'm good. Yeah. I feel good. I pull myself in when I, and I also take herbs for wellness.
We talked before, maybe I'll just get you to talk again, just a little bit about your dispensary. So when did you start that? Like, you started, did you start making medicine as soon as you graduated?
Oh, I didn't have to graduate before I was making medicine, because that's just the era we're in. I've always been making things. Like, I started, my grandmother's a Swiss cook, and I learnt to cook when I was very young. And I've been cooking all my life. It's my favourite thing. Yeah, I love cooking. I love making. Like, I make medicines, I make body products, I make food. That's where I find my creativity in that. Yeah, and making the herbs is something that is just natural to me, and it's something that interests me, and it's something that I'm constantly creative with. And
medicines, you're a cook, you create through that way. And we were talking before about how if you get bigger than that and you try and go through the TGA and be like MediHerb, where it can be sold in any kind of health food or naturopathy, they're making in big vats, like they're making it.
Yeah, like if you look at like what's required, because there's a lot of regulations that need to be met. And like as far as what we're making medicines for our patients who we consult with, and we're formulating individual medicines for everybody.
Yeah.
I really think that's the future of medicine. I love that. You know, I love that concept of medicine. That's what it needs to be, individual medicine, because we're individuals.
And you've touched the plant material for every tincture that you've made, whereas every extract, you know, you've felt the quality, you've smelt the raw herb and made it. And I think that's the magic, because, and that's how you're prescribing. It's so different now when we, like a herbalist, you know, they're just buying a bottle.
Yeah, brown bottle herbalists is a terminology that we used to use a lot. Like, I was on the board of the Naturopathic and Herbalist Association of Australia for 6 years, and John Baxter, who was our president for some of that time that I was there, he used to always say, we need our herbalists to be beyond brown bottle herbalists. So where a brown bottle herbalist is like you buy a commercial brown bottle of herbs, because they will come in amber glass, for those who don't know, and they will take the herb and they will just pour it.
Yeah.
So there's the relationship with the herb. But this is the same as the issues we're dealing with relationship to food now as well, globally as well, you know, where people just think you pick something up in the supermarket and you eat it, you know. Medicine is like that. You know, you walk into the pharmacy and you pick up a packet of Panadol or whatever, and you take that and there's your medicine, you know, but without any, you know, it's like fast clothes as well. You know, like, I guess we're slow herbalists, slow medicine, personal medicine, green medicine. You know, it's beyond that brown bottle concept, which everybody tried to get us into, because the pharmaceutical companies, of course, have taken over a lot of the herbal companies these days. So a lot of vitamins and minerals that you buy now are owned by pharmaceutical companies. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you say how did you describe it before? You have a contract to, you were heard a message about not charging for your consultations, but people pay for the medicine.
Oh, it's a deal I have with the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have
That started when I was very young.
Okay.
And it's something that I, you know, I really wanted this. I really wanted to be able to have this freedom to be doing this with medicine. You know, I was looking for it and I wanted it, and I saw it as an opportunity for me to fulfill my dharma, Mm-hmm. My life, it gave me so much purpose.
Mm.
And I'm able to help people. I'm able to help myself. I'm able to get my hands in things. I'm able to make things. I get really sad when we're so busy, and I'm so busy with clinics and everything that sometimes, you know, like I can't be in there and get doing it. But I always find a way to be in there and doing it. And lately it's been through education. Like, we've got our long table wellness days here, sort of like 5 or 6, 7, 8 times a year. And we do them here in the herbal dispensary, and we have 12 guests come, and we have a workshop education, and we always make a lunch for them. And we do that regularly, and they're really good. We've got one on Sunday on stress relief, natural stress relief. We have, they're fun. They're lots of fun. We had one last month on women's wellness, and then we've got one next month on herbal first aid, which is fun.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be a great one.
And then we have our online courses as well. And they go for 4 weeks, and they're medicine making and cooking classes online with me.
And talk about your, maybe your 9-month one that you're going to be running as well.
We're not up to that yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not up to that. We're looking at doing some practitioner training, but we're not up to it. It's when it's ready, it's ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's at the moment I've got my book coming out in the UK and Europe in a couple of weeks, in Australia and America, that's this year. And then I've also got a contract with another publishing company to do some oracle cards. And I'm just doing things as it comes up.
Yeah, feels like you're in flow.
I hope so. How do you like your herb tea? What did you put in your herb tea, Lily? Do you remember?
Yeah, I put thyme, elderberry, schisandra berries. You put some yarrow in there. And then what was the last one?
Cat's claw in caryatomatosa.
Yeah, I put some cat's claw in there. Yeah, I had Ross River fever when I got up to Northern Rivers last year. And then sometimes I just get like a little bit of...
So, you know, astragalus and cat's claw together in extraction forms, taken daily, they'll pull Ross River fever out of you. They'll pull that virus out of your liver.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, and you have to pull the virus out because you don't want to get post-viral syndromes or anything.
Well, maybe I'll get a mix from you by one before I go. I've been taking so many different things. I was working with a TCM Japanese acupuncturist recently.
Oh, yeah?
And that was fun because he's so subtle, and he was like, yeah, there's a lot of liver heat and stagnancy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm noticing like clots in my period and that kind of things post getting the virus. And I think that, and then I was like, well, what? I was like, I want to do herbal stuff. And he's like, wait for a bit because, you know, the more load you put on your liver,
yeah, like what is it, liver yang rising?
Yeah. But anyway, I'll try.
No, just don't do it, he said then, because maybe just doing subtle things is the answer for you for a while, if that's the case.
Yeah, but I can feel the impact in the liver, for
good.
Sure.
Good, that's a good thing. You can feel your body. A lot of people can't even feel their body.
So how many clients do you see a week?
Not many. We have our free clinic at Yamundi every Saturday. We usually see like maybe, I don't know, lots of people there. Well, not many, it's so not true.
Like 100.
And then on Wednesdays and Thursdays, people can book on either telehealth or come and see me here in Mullaney, or they ring me and talk to me. So, yeah, I think my client base, I've got a client base of about 5,000 people.
Wow.
Who we regularly work with, and I'm super happy to help them. You know, like I'm a resource of herbal medicine and herbal knowledge to help them, you know, meet their wellness needs.
Yeah.
And everything else I refer to others. You know, it's important that we are specialised in what we do, I think.
Yeah, it's very inspiring to meet you. I think that and you've been doing it for this long, and you're still on that path, and I think I'm not sure. I'm starting, they've got the afternoon post lunch kind of brain fog, but
that's okay, it's all good. Yeah, herbal medicine's definitely the right path for me, you know. Looks like it's the right path for you too. But I love the way that you've just go and visit all these people and check things out. I think that's really important.
It's definitely how I've learned. I'll do what I have to do with uni, but then I'll be, as long as it doesn't interfere with every other little mission that I've got going on or like idea, that's definitely how I work. I'll be like, oh, I'm sure you do too. I'm like, just a workshop will just come through me while I'm in the bath. And then I'm like, well, better put that out there.
And that's exactly how you do it. And it comes quickly. The ideas fairy arrives.
Yeah.
And gives you something and it's up to you to take it up when that happens.
And then sometimes I'll be like, well, am I actually an expert in that? And then I'm like, well, I do know enough. And then I'll go and deepen. I'll go on this deep journey before a workshop researching and going
even deeper. Yeah, but that's how we're learning. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Like I'm writing our women's wellness online course now. And it's changed, like, since I first started writing it, like, the content, the herbs we're sending out to people, what's going to go on in that course has shifted and changed, and it keeps on shifting and changing. It's not fixed. Nothing's fixed, really.
And that's why in a uni, the structure is often fixed, and it's not relevant for you in that moment, and yet you've got to tick that box, which I think is important to do, but I think it's great to illuminate people on that, like, that path of workshops and how they can and learning how it is organic and it's always shifting. And also like working with the client, I suppose maybe it's the same for you, like if someone comes in for a consultation, it will shift maybe each time you see them.
I have no agenda with anybody ever.
Yeah,
I provide what they require. I look for people when I work with herbal medicines, Lily. I'm asking people, what qualities do you want? What do you want to achieve out of this? Why are you here to see me, and what qualities do you want to achieve out of this? So I'm not like, you know, oh, the quality I want is I want to have more energy, or I want to feel whatever they want to feel, and that's what I'm going for. So I'm enhancing, I'm functionally enhancing with my herbal medicines. You know, if someone comes and it's, oh, I want to get rid of that,
yeah,
but what quality do you want to achieve from that? It's not like, oh, we're going to strip the virus out of my liver. We want to have a clear, clean liver. We want to be virus free, you know. That's a quality. It's like a aspiration to something that's higher, so we always go for the higher whatever it is in it, you know, like it's vibrational. So yeah.
Can you feel the different vibration from your medicine to other medicines? Do you feel like you can feel vibration of medicine?
Yeah, for sure. Like this tea's really good, isn't it?
It is really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I can. I can feel. I definitely can. Yeah.
That's what I worry about sometimes with like jar bottles of supplements and stuff. I'm like, I can't feel it. I don't know what's
in. Yeah, I don't really use them. Like I use spirulina. I've always been a spirulina girl. It's high in vitamin B, gamma linolenic acid, 70% complete protein, super antioxidant. I've been taking spirulina since I was a teenager. That's my stable thing I take. More than anything else, spirulina.
Yeah, I think that there's a certain alchemy that goes in when you make your own medicine. You can test it, you can do the for its active constituents, but you can't test for that magic quality.
You know, the research that was done into water and the vibration of water, and you put the words into water.
Yes.
It's exactly the same with medicine. It's exactly the same with anything. You know, like, you know, there's an Indian, when I was in the Northern Himalayas, the people up there, well, they nicknamed me Amshi Dolma, which is medicine goddess. And they were taking me around to all the Amshis that are the Tibetan healers. And they all walk out of their homes and they all make their own medicines and they do all kinds of awesome things. And I was lucky enough to go into quite a few of their places and meet with them. And it was awesome. It was really beautiful. But one of the things that I noticed more than anything else was that the place where you are has such a massive influence on everything, with the people and the medicines and the, like, you can take a medicine that comes from one place and put it in another place, and I would question, is it as effective, is it more effective, is it less effective? You know, they always say that the closer to where the medicines are grown that you can make your medicines, the better. Well, in a lot of cases, we can't do that. Like, we're not going to get Shisandra berry, Panax ginseng, you know, all these herbs, astragalus, all this stuff. We're not going to grow that in Melania. We're not going to get that here. So we buy in our herbs from all kinds of places and all kinds of growers, but they are all certified organic. We really push for fair trade. Sometimes it's really hard to know whether something's fair trade or not. It's really, a lot of fair trade is elusive. You don't know whether it is. That's a problem for me. I don't like the poverty cycle, or I don't like to think that I'm contributing to that cycle, but inadvertently I think we all are somewhere.
And then you do use, when people bring you, saying people in the local area will bring you something that they've wildcrafted and you'll purchase that of them.
Like, oh yeah, sure. And I know where all the things are, like my little things on the mountain. I know where they are. Yeah.
But I definitely believe that. Like, I see that in people. You're saying, you know, something's grown different. Like, I'm different when I'm away from Victoria, where I was born. And then I'd be different if I was from, like, in Europe or Denmark, where my ancestors are from. I'd be different there. Like, it's just, you feel that energy when you go to a place, don't you? The people are just, there's something about them.
Yeah.
It's different.
Have you heard of astrocardiology?
No.
Okay, astrocardiology is your astrology at any latitude, longitude, fixed place.
Right.
So you take me, Dom, and you move me to another place.
Yeah.
And it can either be really good for me, or it can be not really good for me.
Interesting.
And we all have this, and there's a astrologer here in town, Richard Giles, his name is. He's a fabulous astrologer, and he specializes in astrocardiology.
Okay.
And he specializes in the Sabian symbols as well. He's a really good astrologer. And there's lots of great astrologers. I've got a lot of good astrology friends, but the astrocardiology always interests me. And I know these places, and I go to places when I travel knowing that there's going to be something there. Yeah.
Do you think he's a good person to go and see if you're trying to figure out where to live?
Oh, well, there you go, Lily. Mm. You're trying to figure out where to live.
Well, eventually, like, where am I going to live in Australia?
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, I think so. Like, I would. I've spoken to him. Yeah, there's a lot of places in Australia.
Sunshine Coast is grounding. It's also, it definitely has the sunny.
This is clear quartz here on this mountain, so we're on clear quartz. Whereas from the Shire, where you are down in Mullum, that's all black obsidian.
It's intense.
And black obsidian is always bringing up stuff. Whereas clear quartz is more clarity and focus.
It's so much easier for me to study up here. I've just done so much in the last 3 days.
Yeah.
Whereas down there I'll be like, I'll have an assignment done, due, or something I need to get done, and it'll take me 6 hours, something would normally take me an hour, because I'm just distracted or something comes up.
I think that you just have to sit down and focus and do it.
Okay.
But you can't from an external environment either, you know.
Yeah,
like, you know, I know, like, you don't have that much trauma going on, do you?
No. Okay, right. I'm just trying to find an excuse. All right,
fine. Take your herbs, take your go-to cola and your, you know, centella asiatica, brahmi, brain food, ginkgo biloba, ginseng, elithricoccus, Siberian ginseng, brain food, lion's mane, the Copa Moniera. So herbs you can take, your herbalist.
I need you. Yeah, okay, all right. Well, I could just do my assignments, but yeah.
That's like, I get yoga teachers, so I go to yoga because I'm super lazy, but I did yoga early this morning, but I'll go to a yoga class. I'll be like, I need this yoga teacher to actually just be in my house every morning and go, okay, you pick me up and put me on my yoga mat and go, we're doing yoga. You know, like, because there's a laziness that I have with that. And I think that right now with your study, you just sort of, you know, you always want me to be there and pick you up and stick you in the chair and go, okay, study.
I need that.
But what would be easier is just like direct transmissions where people, you know, you just get the book. And I used to always sleep with books under my pillow when I was studying. Do you ever do that?
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You sleep with things under your pillow and just tell yourself you're assimilating all that knowledge in your sleep.
That is good. But I definitely feel like it is good to surround myself with other herbalists. Though I lived with a herbalist for a while. She was a big inspiration to me, Rosie, and I'd get sick and she'd be treating me. She was always bringing me teas and reminding me. But, yeah.
Yeah, healer, heal thyself.
Mm.
It's the key.
It's the key.
And the thing, the whole thing about it is I don't even know why in school little kids aren't taught nutritional cooking and foods, understanding how to grow vegetables in their gardens, what is their body, what is inside this skin of mine, who am I, you know, what is it, and, you know, the curiosity and the understanding of how we actually function, you know. I'm surprised that so many people are just here in this body, but they don't even know what this body is.
Yeah, yeah.
And they think that they are the body. It's interesting.
It is very interesting.
Yeah, I inhabit my body,
if
that makes any sense.
Yeah, self-responsibility. And that's the transmission that I've been getting from you this afternoon, is just make it happen, do it. Like, you're just, it's just coming through you, and you've got this self-motivation. You've studied so many things. You're doing another course now, running this business, running courses online, learning yourself.
Yeah, people always think I'm busy. It's amazing. I don't feel like I am. I feel like it's all good.
Yeah.
people are like, how do you do it so much? I'm like, not really. I don't really feel like I'm doing so much. But I have.
Maybe it's because you're doing what you want to be doing.
Yeah, but that's it, is that I have the thing that is the most valuable thing, and that is called freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah, very valuable. I'm only committed one day a week to going out, and that's the Saturday market at your Monday.
Yep.
The rest of the week, it's mine. Even though, like, on a Wednesday and Thursday I'm here, people can come for bookings.
Yeah.
How, it's like, that's not very painful for me. It's just good. I love it, you know. I love talking to people about that. I love hearing how medicines are affecting people and how we need to refine things and what needs to shift with that to create what we want for our outcome, which is optimal wellness for us where we are now. Like, so for some people optimal wellness is different to others, you know. Like, you don't know what's sitting there as underlying causes, and the world's so different now. Like, now we acknowledge trauma, we acknowledge emotional strain, we acknowledge you know, like, it's not just man up and get on with it. It's like, oh, you have a trauma, let's deal with it. You know, it's a common thing now to deal with things.
Yeah, beautiful. And I love that you do Zentai too, because sometimes when you can't speak about these things, like, touch is a beautiful way of... The body speaking and letting things go.
Zentai, yeah. I did that in 2014, that course. It's amazing. Yeah, that was after I finished my Kundalini yoga teacher training. I did Zentai. I'm always doing something, constantly, constantly studying, constantly learning.
I feel like you're going to live to 100.
Yeah, but that's undecided. You know, you don't know. How do you know these things?
You don't know. You don't know.
You've got no idea.
Mm.
It doesn't matter, you know. I could die tomorrow.
Yep.
My library's here. Probably give it away.
Like, so wait, what's the name of your books?
Okay, so The Wellness Zone.
We've
published two copies of that, and the third copy is coming out now from Aeon.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a pre-sale for $30 on our website, which I need to put up. And then I'm doing those oracle cards. I've got all my painting things over there.
And your website is The Medicine Room?
There's no "the" in it. Okay, it's Medicine Room.
Thank you for listening to this podcast with me and Dom. Hope you enjoyed. So her website is medicineroom.com.au, and you can find more about her and her dispensary and her work and what festivals she'll be at there, and about her books and courses. And yeah, go and visit her if you're ever in Mullaney, Queensland. Stay tuned for more episodes.